You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Playmaker Michael Irvin coming up at 8:40 this morning. Fist pump time on the fan cam thumbs down sign if the Odyssey app's still not working for you. And we're live on Twitch. Thank you all for your patience and turning it on, leaving it on. DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Yesterday, Mike McCarthy talked to the media for the final time this season. And let's just play. Let's start off with Cut 17. Troy McCarthy asked about his job status moving forward.
I've had a chance to, you know, talk to Jerry, after the game for a long time. Also saw him again Monday. So, you know, we had very positive, you know, conversation and just, you know, the focus on the evaluation process.
So, non-issue.
I don't see it that way. I'm focused on the exit interview process.
So the follow-up was, so it's not an issue. I'm focused on the exit interview process. Not a clear yes. We talked about it. I'm coming back. Jerry addressed it. We had Mike McCarthy on this morning at 6:30. We'll bring you back our final discussion with Coach to answer all of the loose end questions at 9. But I followed up with, so did the subject ever come up with Jerry in that conversation? And I think he alluded to it coming up. Basically saying, yes, he feels good, and Mike will be back here next year. Now let's get to some of the other issues. Why didn't Tony Pollard and CeeDee Lamb get more touches?
We really, just because everything he's got going on and Dan's got going on, we haven't really dove into the deep part of it. I think I spent 15 minutes with Kellen. But I would just say, I know just the first down was and that's a challenge when you're calling plays. When you're second and long, you know some of those down and distances, you know, you're not into your normal flow of a play call. So I think that would definitely be part of it.
Now that's for the San Francisco game specifically, but they say that every time someone doesn't get targets or catches. Well, the game plan changed. Like, the game plan always has to be, let's get our best players the ball. Michael Irvin is going to come on here at 8:40 and say, your stars have to be stars. All right? So, if it's first and 16, how many less touches is Davante Adams going to get? If it's second and 20, you know, how many less carries is Derrick Henry going to end up getting? Now, it's going to affect the run game a little bit more, but Tony Pollard can catch the football, and everybody looks at him as the more explosive back. Kyle Shanahan was most surprised by Tony Pollard on film than any other player, and I think that is a major indictment of Kellen Moore and Mike with offensive input, that receivers weren't targeted, and Tony Pollard, the fact that they were overly loyal to Zeke hurt them, and Tony Pollard just didn't get enough touches. So that was McCarthy talking specifically about the San Francisco game, and we'll see if it's a major point of emphasis moving forward. Weird that Pollard wasn't more involved because Jerry loves him.
Yeah.
Like, Jerry seems to love him. He loves Dorrance Armstrong on the D-line. He loves Tony Pollard on offense, but they stubbornly continue to go with Zeke, even though they knew he had an injury. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, I think the reason that Pollard got far less is because, you know, like, you know, they put him out there, they put the personnel out there, and they call the two plays, right? You know, summer pass, summer run, and they don't necessarily know which one they're going to do going into each play. It's based on the coverage, right? I'm going to guess that Zeke was out there more than Pollard because of pass protection. That's my guess. And then you got to ask yourself, what's more important? And I would lean towards the pass protection.
I know, but does that go for every game?
Well, Pollard's a terrible pass blocker, right?
I know, but there's no other ways to get, like,
Tony yeah, sure, Pollard, the multiple tight ends, right? You can keep extra tight ends in there. But then you lose a pass, you know, you lose a receiver. I don't know. It's tricky.
I'm gonna have to go back and look at Pollard's touches, to see if he was really underutilized. Because when I'm looking at the it faded towards the end of the year. To begin the season, he had a stretch after the Tampa game: 13 attempts, 11 attempts, 10, 14, 10. That's pretty good. I mean, you're getting 10 or 11 carries a game.
And that was in the beginning of the season?
That was at the beginning of the season.
Maybe the reason for the more touches the beginning of the year is because though they were winning those games and they were running the ball at the end to run out, they were going to have more rush attempts anyway. That'd be interesting to see.
7, 10, 7, 12, 8, 3, and 4 carries to end the year. 6 total touches in the San Francisco game. So I think that's got to be a major point of emphasis in the offseason, and Kellen Moore should have to answer for that. That's Pollard's touches. What about the reasons for just the struggling run game throughout the entire year, Mike?
To me, running the ball is, you know, you run the football for the whole team. You know, the run game helps the whole football team. Now, you also can take that a step further. You know, the rushes plus completions is really the most important. You know, the ball distribution. You know, if you look at the games that we weren't successful, including this last one against San Francisco, you know, our losses, I think we averaged 46, 47, you know, rushes plus completions. You know, the goals 55. And I would say in our wins, we had to be 57, 58, somewhere in there. So the ball distribution is the most important part. But the run game, as far as the efficiency of it, yeah, it's clearly been a constant, you know, conversation for us consistently. You know, just as far as fitting it all together with the action pass game, I thought we did a really nice job. I think some of the, a lot of changes that we had, you know, with the offensive line as part of that. That's always a challenge. You know, our running backs, you know, fought through some injuries. So, I mean, I think you have a lot of different factors there. But we need to be better because it's definitely a key building block to being, you know, for us to have success.
You know, one more thing on this, you know, that's being brought up on the fan text. And I'm looking it up right now. But if you go back and look, Pollard's numbers of touches – and potentially number of, you know, of plays he was in, you could draw a comparison of when Blake Jarwin got hurt. He got hurt after the Minnesota game, or in the Minnesota game. And with pass protection, you could have had him in there as well. They started using sprinkle more. And maybe that played into it. You know, there's a lot of moving parts on an offense and a football field, and maybe that's one of the things that caused
the drop. Just not... In my opinion, let's just not overcomplicate it. Zeke Elliott is compromised, lacks burst, slow, unable to give you big chunk yards. So put the better running back in and figure out a different way to block. Let's not overcomplicate it. Who's the faster, more explosive, dangerous weapon? Give that guy more touches while Zeke is hurt. That's the way I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers' advice for the rest of the show. Let's just dumb it down. Let's not overthink it. This year, Tony Pollard, in one less game, had 29 more carries than last year. So just 29 more carries, and he had 11 more receptions than last year. What about the offensive line? My biggest surprise of the entire year, the offensive line and all the struggles with the amount of talent, pedigree-wise, that they have up front, Mike McCarthy, on how much the O-line needs to improve.
You know, as far as improvement, I think number one is always availability. I think you always look at that for, if you look at successful offensive lines, you know, that successful seasons for an offensive line, availability is probably the number one statistic in that. So, you know, just guys, you know, getting healthy, trying to stay healthy. And but, you know, I think really we got to look at some things fundamentally and, you know, looks at things, particularly pass protection is going to be another area that we're going to, we'll take a little longer look than normal. So I think all those things will help those guys.
So there's McCarthy talking about that yesterday. Some different Cowboy analytical bloggers were saying, no, offensive line is still fine. Tyron had a bad game. COVID recovery brought us, keeps talking about this. If you look at the pattern of guys who went on the COVID list, they had slow returns. So there was Tyron out there with a pretty bad game for him. I mean, the Tyron decision.
Tough one.
It is so fascinating what to do. Let's just say you draft a left tackle in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with Tyron then? Like, are you going to make that guy your swing tackle? They'll be the first ones to tell you first round picks are supposed to be starters. Like, is that guy, are you fine with him sitting on your bench?
No.
Like a quarterback would if you draft, you know, a Trey Lance. What do you do? What do you do with Tyron? Do you shop him? I mean, yes. I don't know what his numbers are in terms of being cut.
I can find that out real quick.
So the Tyron Smith decision is going to be very, very interesting because if you stay married to him, right? You know he's gonna come back late some nights. He's not gonna come out every night at 7 p.m. He's gonna be missing sometimes. So what do? Chaos ensues. Chaos ensues when that line shuffles. At least it did this year.
They had the amount.
Well, his salary is like so low, or he's so team friendly.
No, they restructured his deal so long or so many times, it's turned into like an 11-year contract. So he has, let's see, this is 2022, so he has a $12 million dead cap hit. His total cap hit is $17 million. So you'd save $5 million. That's not really much. Next year, it's an $8 million dead cap, and it's a $17 million cap hit. So you're saving $9 million. And the year after that, it's $4 and $4 million. So I don't know. That's a tough one to get out of.
All right.
I mean, they could do it, but I you know, you're probably more likely to trade it. I don't know. I don't know what you do there. I certainly don't sit my first-round pick.
Mike McCarthy, season-ending press conference yesterday. Heard right here to start off G-Bag on The Fan. Jerry Jones will join KMC tomorrow at 10:30. Mike, how do you sell this fan base listening right now that next year is going to be better than this?
Oh, we're going to be better. I mean, we're going to be better through the process. I think, you know, I trust number one. I trust our personnel process. You know, I think that, you know, the collaboration. I mean, I think we have to give our personnel, our personnel department, and just what we did last year to this year. I mean, we had tremendous. I mean, that was the change we had on defense from a personnel and coaching staff standpoint. I mean, that's the biggest change that I've ever been a part of, both player and coaching. So to pull all that together. You know, there's a lot of hard work and a lot of credit that goes to a number of people. So, you know, I have the same confidence that, you know, we'll do that moving forward.
All right. So there's McCarthy. And then the comment he made that caused many to lose their minds was about watching the rest of the playoffs. Is it too painful? Is it going to sting too much to watch these four games this weekend, conference title, Super Bowl? Here's McCarthy on whether he's going to check out the rest of the postseason.
I won't. Yeah, I'm sorry. I won't watch it. What's nice is we'll, you know, we have video that you make. I'll come in and maybe blink the games afterwards. You know, but you know the emotion of it all on TV. You know, it's just something that I never participated in. So I mean, it's we're disappointed. You know, make no bones about it. So. But yeah, there'll be great games. But you know, I'll watch the coaching tapes at some point just to see what, you know, teams are doing against each other, particularly in the playoffs.
So everybody missed that final part. Everyone just like either turned off the radio or they started doing something else. They smashed something at home. People were freaking out saying, what type of coach is that? You're not going to watch what the other good teams are doing? You're not going to scout their tendencies and new tricks you can pick up? He added at the end, he will watch the coach's tape at some point. He doesn't have to watch it live. It doesn't matter whether he watches it live in the moment on Saturday or Sunday. He's going to watch it, although a lot of Tolos came back and said, y'all also believed when he said he watched every game of the Cowboys previous season to sell Jared Steven on the job.
Well, this is his actual job. As opposed to just being a coach in an off season. So that may be a little bit different, but
I want to ask Jerry or Steven one time. Did you guys ask yourselves if Mike lied to you about that?
That's not necessary.
They would both laugh. Jerry would laugh, but I wonder if they were like, did we get duped when he told us that? Did he trick us with that? So there you go. Mike McCarthy wrapping up the year. Michael Irvin at 8:40. The Mavs continue to be on fire. And on the I'm not gonna say this term. I'm not gonna say this phrase.
What? It's not like
you already this morning you said she or
no. She. No, she.
Wait, let me guess. The phrase yeet?
No.
God, 2017.
You can say it if you can read it. No. On this day.
On this day. We dropped a milli.
Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
After Ananobi missed the shot, touch pass by Kleba. Under the defense. Inside Porzingis, and he drops the hammer.
Mavs win again. Fourth straight. Luka going crazy last night at the AAC over the Raptors. 102-98, 41, 14, and 7. And I was texting our Mavs guys, Kevin Gray, Chris Arnold. I was like, what is behind this defensive turnaround? Like, how do you explain this? This is crazy. And as KG and CA have said, they're number one in defense in the NBA since Christmas. Number four overall. They were never better than 17th with Carlisle. And Jared Sandler was also chiming in that they got a new defensive coordinator. They got their own Dan Quinn, Sean Sweeney, with a new scheme. He was with Jason in Milwaukee. They focus on shrinking the floor by protecting the paint and being athletic on the perimeter. Great job switching up top. Better team defenders than one-on-one. Rotate well. They double the best player more often than they have in the past. They've consistently been among the best this year in opposing shot quality. So just great stuff from Spectrum and CA, KG, and Sandler. Because Luka's supposed to be horrible defensively. That's all we heard early on. Right. And that KP was really, really bad last year. So how in the hell are they becoming the best defensive team in the NBA? And it sounds like Jason Kidd has been preaching it. They've been buying in. So, bam, here we are.
You know, the old adage is it's about effort, defense, which is true. And then there's also times where, like, you know, Steve Kerr could have given the most effort in the history of the game.
Yeah.
And he was never going to be a lockdown defender. He was Steve Kerr. He was limited, right? But, you know, the emphasis, you put a team type defense out there where it's, you know, the sum of the parts is greater than the individuals. And all of a sudden, because the NBA, like, they're not playing a lot of defense in the NBA. They're not emphasizing defense. So if you put a little emphasis on it, the margins are so thin, you might actually be halfway decent at it.
So Porzingis has been very good on the weak side, fourth in the NBA in opposing field goal percentage at the rim. So there you go with your Mavericks, the number five seed, 3 games back of Utah for the number four, and they are 2 games up on Denver with the Joker going in crazy last night. The two big men in the MVP race last year went nuts. Joel Embiid had 50 in 27 minutes. 50 in 27. And Joker had 49 and 14 as the Nuggets beat the Clippers. So there you go with a little NBA update. Yesterday, around the NFL, we had some QB discussions in Vegas and in Philthy. Here is the Eagles management. Howie Roseman, the GM, and Nick Sirianni on the future of Jalen Hurts.
I think for us, we got to do whatever we can to continue to help him develop. And how do we do that? By surrounding
him. God, I don't know. I'm sure you can get in trouble nowadays for stereotyping, but if this don't sound like a guy named Howie to start off with this voice, not Howard, even Howard Eskin doesn't sound like this, but this sounds like a guy named Howie talking about Hurts.
I think for us, we got to do whatever we can to continue to help him develop. And how do we do that? By surrounding him with really good players. Players continue to grow. That's a huge part of developing. They grow. How they are in their second year is not how they're going to be in year 4, 5, 6, and 7. And they're also products of the people around them. So that's on us to continue to build this team.
Jalen knows where he stands with us. You know, he knows he's our quarterback. How do you know where you stand with a coaching staff? Because you communicate and you talk over and over and over and over again. And so Jalen knows where he stands with us. I thought he did a great job of getting better throughout the year, as we've talked about. And so, yeah, there's no secrets there. He knows he's our guy.
I would also like to follow up with Coach and say that the TI 84 Plus is a much better calculator than the TI 89.
Yeah,
Titanium.
That is a that is an Ivy League voice depth right there. That's what that is. You can see Sirianni come in right afterwards with.
Yeah. So they're saying it's Hurts right now. Let's see what happens with the draft in terms of piling up all those picks that they have with three in the first round. What about in Vegas with the Derek Carr and Rich Bisaccia Gruden talk?
Yeah, okay, there you go. There's something. Well, there is. Well, first off, do you want the Gruden or do you want the Derek Carr first?
Let's go Gruden.
Okay. There is a player on the Raiders who explained and was talking about why Rich Bisaccia was better than John Gruden for the Raiders. He told this to Michael Silver. And this is an anonymous Raider. Said, we didn't have Gruden grinding us late in the year.
Gruden's grinders.
He would kill us. We would fall apart. The reason we played so well down the stretch is Rich listened to the players, took it easy over the back half of the season. This was a Parcells criticism when he was here. Remember the December swoons every single year, Troy? In December, the Cowboys would fall apart.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, they had some health. They had healthy guys, too. In a couple of the years of Bill's tenure, it's like, man, they are oddly healthy. But they were always fading down the stretch. And the thought was, is that he rode them too hard during the course of the season. And if you look at it, you know, under Gruden, the Raiders finished 2-4, 1-5, and 2-5 under the previous three seasons. Under Gruden. Meanwhile, this year, they played really, really well down the stretch. So that's, and they had lost 5 of 6 before they turned things around late. After the Henry Ruggs situation, they lost 5 of 6, and that was obviously a very tumultuous time for the Raiders. Meanwhile, in terms of Derek Carr, an NFL insider has said that Derek Carr could, this is Mark Sessler, could be heading to Indianapolis. That is a potential landing spot if the Raiders wanted to make him available for a trade, which may not be likely. I mean, he just led them to the playoffs in, like we just talked about, a very tumultuous season. But Wentz and the Colts feel destined for Splitsville, and the quarterback market does not have a ton of guys that might be available on it if they don't decide to trade Deshaun Watson yet. And they would be able to pair him with Frank Reich, who has been searching for a long-term answer in Indianapolis, and they are going to target, potentially, according to this, maybe Derek Carr. But they don't really think that Carr is going to be made available from Vegas.
What are the Colts with Derek Carr? How much better in terms of a contender?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Carr is
better than Tannehill?
Yes.
Then I think they're probably the favorites in the South.
The favorites in the South. Okay.
They're good. They're a good team.
They're a good team. Yeah.
They're well coached.
Yeah.
Are they a title contender?
What do you think? You like Tannehill. You like Tannehill and Carr. I don't love them nearly as much as you have.
I think Carr's better. I think Tannehill's really good.
Yeah.
But I think Carr's a little bit better. Like, I would think both are probably the top 12 in the league. And I think one's probably 10 and one's probably 11 or 12.
Okay.
So, yeah, we went down. I was having a conversation with some buddies. Where they were like, man, Carr's trash. And I'm like, well, where do you think he ranks in the league? And I'm like, he's probably like 18th or 20th. And I'm like, okay.
Well, 18th or 20th?
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, let's just go look at this. He's better than everyone in the NFC South but Brady. He's better than everyone in the AFC South. He's better than everyone in the NFC East but Dak. I mean, we're already at 9 guys right there. We haven't even gotten to the NFC North, which outside of Rodgers, he's better than everybody else. We haven't gotten to the AFC North, which outside of Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, he's better than the other two. He's better than the AFC East minus Josh Allen. Now there's another 9 guys. I mean, so like now we're already up to top 12. So, you know, I think he's better than people realize. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's not going to lead you. He's not going to carry you to
right,
a Super Bowl.
Right.
But he will get you to the playoffs. And I think then you just take your luck.
14th in QBR this year, but they're always dealing. Hey, this guy's always getting screwed with weapons too. The Antonio Brown thing was a disaster. Ruggs was a travesty. Obviously, a really unfortunate situation. I mean, he's sitting there throwing to DeSean Jackson. Yeah, he has Waller, and he's got Renfro. Waller's a great tight end. Renfro's not a great player. So Derek Carr, Indianapolis rumors. I don't know if I see Vegas letting him get out of there.
But they're in a curious situation because they know. And as much as I like Derek Carr, like he is at least a tier below the two other guys in their division. At least a tier.
Oh, yeah.
But to behind Herbert and Mahomes. So they know, like, they have no shot of ever hosting a playoff game.
Playmaker Michael Irvin coming up at 8:40 first on this day.
John and RJ take a look back on this day with Troy Hughes on 105.3 The Fan.
Thank you very much, random voice guy. Yes, we go back on this day, fellas, to a day in which we dropped a millie and to a day in which we fell in love with the television show. But first, man, we're going to go way back on this day. I mean, we're talking about like the 1800s, fellas.
Yeah.
On this day in 1892, the official...
Are you for real?
The first official basketball game was played in America. Now, James Naismith had gathered some guys together back in December, but it wasn't until on this day that the first official basketball game was played by a group of students in Springfield, Mass. At the YMCA Training School. This is not a joke. Those students included such names as 1892... Eugene S. Libby, Edwin P. Ruggles, and Lyman Archibald.
Oh, Lyman.
Boy, those are some 1800 names right there.
Why don't we bring back names like we do clothes?
Oh, yeah.
You know, jeans always change.
Martha. Yeah. There's no Marthas out there. There's no Irmas.
Yeah. No, like they've brought back like Gretchen a little bit. Gretchen's an old person name, right? Oh, but for the most part, they don't bring back a ton of, you know, there's no... Cletus ain't coming back.
No. But Gretchen, she's a redneck woman, and everyone knows that.
Well done.
On this day in 1985, we dropped a millie on this day, fellas. In 1985 on this day, the 49ers beat the Dolphins 38-16 in Super Bowl 19. And the reason why we dropped a millie, not because Joe Montana won his third MVP. No, it's because it was the first time that a TV commercial sold for $1 million a minute.
Wow.
This
what was
year,
it?
No, all commercials.
Oh.
All commercials that Super Bowl were $1 million for 60 seconds. The upcoming Super Bowl, $6.5 million is what you'll need to pay.
What year was this, 84?
This was 85.
Oh, yeah, 84, 85 Super Bowl.
And they've been going downhill ever since.
That's right. And finally, on this day, without question, one of the greatest shows of our generation, on this day in 2008...
Yep.
Breaking Bad premiered on AMC on this day in 2008. Fun fact, Bryan Cranston killed it as Walter White, but he wasn't the first choice. No, AMC execs, they actually wanted Ferris Bueller, Matthew Broderick, to play Walter White.
Hmm. We always talk about teams getting lucky with draft picks. How many TV shows and movies lucky with who passed on the part and who ended up taking it?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you missed Mike McCarthy's final conversation with us to answer all of your leftover questions, 9 o'clock this morning here on Sean and RJ. Right now, joining the show is Odyssey NFL insider Michael Irvin. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You ended up being correct about San Francisco, even though Choppy said he saw you on TV pick the Cowboys to still be in the Super Bowl. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, because I was hoping, because everybody jumped ship, that, and I had heard that Mike McCarthy was using that as a motivator for their team, saying, "You guys, nobody believes that you guys can man up and handle these guys." I thought that would bring a big dog out of them. But I see it made them little puffies. That's what I saw. I saw little puffies. No, honestly, man, when you watch that game, I was looking in the eyes of people. Guys on our team and guys on their team. And the guys on our team looked like, oh, my God, this is a big moment. We can't mess this up and everything. The guys on their team looked like, man, I'm about to eat this moment up.
Yeah.
They were ready for it. They wanted it. And they went and took it.
They did.
Also, when you introduced, you say Mike McCarthy's final conversation. You should have put "of this year" on that. Because when you say Mike McCarthy's final conversation, the National picked that up. They'll run with that. Because you guys stirred a pot a lot on the national scene. Every time I'm out there, Jerry said on Sean and RJ 105 today, I'm like, I got to answer this junk today. That's why I be texting y'all saying, stop starting mess out here. Can you please stop starting mess? But, man, that was disappointing, man.
Hey, you know Jerry better than anybody. Do you think he had any thought in his mind and he was so furious over what happened with this team that he was thinking about making a change for McCarthy, knowing Jerry?
There's no doubt in my mind with all the things. And it's not just being furious with Mike McCarthy and furiously disappointed with the season. It's also what he should be doing. His job is to evaluate and see any way we can get better. Right. So now that's why I said, and I've been saying on air, people are like, we need to get rid of Mike McCarthy. No. Unless I'm sure I can bring in something better. If I knew I can go get Sean Payton or one of those, Bill Belichick or Kyle Shanahan, anyone, Mike Tomlin, I know they're better, and I can make that change. But see, we get emotional. We get emotional and we want someone out.
Yeah.
We're not thinking about the other side of it. Well, who are we bringing in? Do we get worse? All of that has passes that I catch them out of touchdowns, Emmett Ron, or Troy throws, or Dak throws. They're still looking for your replacement. That's the nature of this beast. So, yes, Garrett considered all of those things, but he decided to stay home.
Mike, I know every game's different, but in this game, in this game, did you put more blame on the coaching or the players in this game?
Dude, Emmett and I stood in that tunnel before every game. I'm going to tell you this. We looked at each other, and we said, we called ourselves double trouble, by land or by air. And the day before we hit the field, if we don't get up, we got no shots, period. That's the whole reason we did that, because we knew if we didn't show up, we got no shot. Our stars didn't show up. We had no shot. Whenever you got disorder, dysfunction, we can't have our stars putting up role player numbers like 31 yards rushing, one catch for 21 yards, 69 passer rating. And then have our role players putting up numbers like Schultz and Wilson. That's a disorder. Trying to make our role players stars, our stars role players. That's a disorder and the team dysfunction, and our ass is home.
Mike, Troy was talking about your guy beating beating the man on the other side. We're worried too much about scheming guys open. Is it on the receivers? Is it on the coaching to get the receivers the ball?
That's the NFL now, guys. I've been talking about that for a while. When you see it, and that's why, as we start rating guys, like we want to rate wide receiver. Oh, he's better than him. He's better than him, and we do it on numbers. When it's system beating system now, it's not man beating man. That's why you're going to get these so-called boy geniuses to try to figure out a way to beat a system, and then I can get less players and come back and beat better players because I'm beating a system. The days of man beating man, we'll never have them again. We'll never have those again. And sometimes it takes away from when it's just time to get down, dirty, and gritty. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things I've always claimed. Troy's right. We're expecting now the coaches to come in and design a way to make a man get open, and instead of expecting the man to use his talents and gift and get someone and get open.
Playmaker Michael Irvin on Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. What did you think of the final play and the way all that went down?
I had no problem with what was called. It's just the execution of what was called. I totally understand. You can get you one good play from the 30. That's much better than a Hail Mary or a throw from the 40-yard line. But I was fearful. When Mike McCarthy came on, he said, yeah, most people tell you 32 Hail Mary plays from the 40 or 50. You'd rather take that one play, throw into the end zone from the 30 or 25. He's right. All that is true. But you got to also calculate in the risk of trying to get there. And that's the issue. So I call that convincing or confusing people, which that was confusing people. Yeah, you're right. It's a better option. But what will it cost you to try to get that better option must be put into the equation. And it cost us the game.
Michael, please help us with penalties. We cannot get an answer. Is it on the coaches? Is it on the players? Is it
on the coaches, man. It's on the coaches.
All right, how did Jimmy coach penalties?
With fear. That's what he did. With fear. You got enough of them, your butt is gone. That's what you do. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. Hey, man, you get enough of this, we're going to make a change. You do this enough, we're going to make a change. Fear is what has to drive it. And I know it's harder now with contracts because everybody, you know, my contract is what it is. You gave me this much guarantee. But most of the guys that earn that kind of money, those are not the guys you really got to worry about just making blatant mistakes. And sometimes it's the guys that don't earn that kind of money. So the fear factor must be implemented. We got to be scared to make it. You don't see Bill Belichick now making those kinds of penalties. Because they know Bill Belichick ain't with that. Either Bill going to get you out of here, and Jimmy would get you out of Dallas, and go so far as to try to make sure he affected where you were going. Don't you put penalties on my team. That's just the reality of it, man. 14 penalties, man, in a game like that. I'm so happy. I love Randy Gregory, man. And I understand the frustration, but what the hell are you doing grabbing that dude and throwing him down right there? That was a crucial, crucial penalty. And that's what it is. Even that, though, I understand we're going to have penalties. And I understand aggressive penalties. You know, I want to come back. Oh, man, I want to come back and block this dude. And I catch him on the blind side, and they call that unnecessary roughness. That's okay. I ain't worried about that. That's aggressive. I was trying to send a message. I know you never, but Randy Gregory tackling somebody, that's just ignorance. That's stupidity, that's undisciplined, and that's losing. And it's the timing of them.
Yes.
It's not just that it's 14 penalties. It's when did you make those 14 penalties? At crucial moments that cost the game. And I'm mad at CD for one catching one pass. But he had another 30-yarder in there that got called back. He had a couple plays that got called back.
Yep.
But still, man, it was just – and then I got to sit on that damn show with Stephen A, and he's talking about all our fans. I was saying, this ain't part of the show, people. I would not sit in a meeting and make this part of the show. He's hijacked this show. He had hijacked this show and made it up. It was so – y'all, listen, y'all saw our fans, man. You do understand why people hate us so much. They can't understand the love we have for our Cowboys. So to them, that was comedy at its best. Mm-hmm. That was, oh, my God.
But Mike, Stephen A., I heard him, blamed you. He said, you are part of the problem.
Ooh.
The overhype. We booked you. You caused Choppy and I to lose money booking hotel rooms in L.A. You told us to get the transfer. We even got a driver to kind of be like you. And he said, you are part of the, we got suits. We got a handkerchief or whatever it is. And you are part of the problem with the overhyping every year.
Let me tell you something, man. You can sit there and sublease that hotel room and sell them tickets and make great money. I gave you a great business deal right there. You can make, so those tickets are going up, going to count. You know, so I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. And what I saw. And at that moment, I saw that. They had a running game. It was all, like I had said before, it had started commingling. You saw the running game. You saw the passing game. They were looking great. And the defense was coming and turning the ball over. Now, getting to that point and sustaining that point are two different things, and we did not. We got there, but we didn't sustain.
What happened to Dak in the second half of the season, and where is your elite confidence in him as the guy to carry this franchise? What happened to Dak Prescott in the offense?
Boy, that's the question there. Because if I answer it, I worry about who else knows. And I'm pretty sure people in the NFL have seen it. And we talked about it when we talked about people junking things up on Dak and everything. And our offense, you know, most people around our league nationally says that our offense is antiquated, you know, because because they want somebody to be designing more schemes to get people open, as opposed to what we were just talking about, allow your man to beat somebody with timing. You know, so now I put a lot of what happened with Dak on Kellen Moore. Well, on Kellen Moore, you see them junking it up in here. You see, okay, we're holding the ball too long, allow people to. So let's come up with some easy things. Let's catch them off guard. They're trying to junk it up. Let's do something to make it easy. Come up with something. I don't know what it is because I'm not in those coaching rooms every day. But that's on you. Don't tell me that we're going to go the whole season and keep saying, oh, that figured this out, that figured it out. No, you help him figure it out by giving him some easy things that he can go to when he sees this kind of situation. And unsure. It's one thing if you got a team that's junking it up, everybody coming in line of scrimmage, but you got a real good understanding of where they're dropping back out and how they're dropping out. But if I don't have a great understanding of how you're dropping out of the junking it up, then I got to come with some easy things to beat to junking it up till you get out of it. And then Dak can get back to doing what he does. That's on Kellen Moore.
Thank you, brother. It sucks. It's painful. I even watching the games on TV as a fan, yeah, it's miserable. We have to do it for our job, and you have to be in studio with a TV on you. So I don't envy
all
you.
All day, man. All day. And I love the game, so I love I want to keep watching and see what plays out and how it plays out and everything, man. But, y'all, listen, you know what we miss here and what we lost. It would have been the highest-rated game probably in the last 15 to 20 years if Dallas was on their way to Tampa right now.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.